This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, who provide you with premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation time and dollar. Do yourself a favor and give them a try at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, who offers you the highest quality in vacation homes or condos. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacations. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hi, my name is Emma McCoy, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 170 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and with me on the show today from WDW Today Podcast is my co-host, Mike Scopa. How you doing, Mike?
Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm fine. So, Mike, how you doing with the Skinny in 60 Challenge?
So far, so good. I had a number in mind that I wanted to achieve by the end of the 60 days, and I am approximately 25% of the way there. So,
in a week?
In a week. I'm starting off pretty fast. I don't think I'm going to be able to maintain this rate. So, I'm looking to see what's going to happen, by the end of the month. But I, so far, so good. It's very hard. It's like moving a big ship to get in the direction of losing weight. So, I started off with a bang, and let's hope I don't finish with a whimper.
It's like training for a marathon. It's not just a one-day thing or one-week thing. You have to really be committed to the long-term process of the whole thing.
Yeah, and I'm running every day, too. So, you know, so I'm cutting down, and I'm putting out. And I'll tell you one thing. I'm sleeping better at night.
Well, that's good. Well, my first week didn't go as well. I stayed the same, but I know I'm doing all the right things, so hopefully I'll see results next week. And I'd love to be able to add up all – people posted how much weight they lost. I'd love to be able to add up for week one. Wouldn't it be interesting to see for the people who posted? Do you think 100 pounds?
I don't know how many people posted.
I don't know. It looked like, you know, on the Mickey Milers webpage, probably about 30, and maybe another 30 on the Mickey Miles Podcast Facebook
wow.
page. So I don't know. Be interesting to see.
Yeah.
If anybody's going to add it up, it will be you. I want to give a shout out today, and it is to one of our listeners whose name is Kalina Mayoral. And I guess a few weeks ago, she had a not so good race experience, and she was encouraged by other listeners on her Facebook page, and she had a better experience in the Rhode Island Marathon, and she has a terrific picture on our Facebook page. I love it when people post pictures of their medals and their experiences. So congratulations. So today on the show, Mike, we are going to do a race review of a race that neither you and I raced, but it is the Expedition Everest Challenge. And you were there, weren't you?
Yes, I was. It was a close call. It was raining real hard about an hour and a half, 2 hours before race time, and there was a possibility of lightning and thunder. So it was close. The race went off, and the rain decided to stop sometime after the last corral left, and the rest of the night was pretty good. But it was very interesting. It was much different, a little bit different from last year when you and I were here last year.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you some questions because I wasn't there. And you also interviewed some people because you were at our meetup with organized by Eddie McCoy and Eve Vanderpool, right? So you got to interview some people.
I talked with a few people. Most of the interviews were conducted after the race, and it was in the wee hours of the morning. So hopefully we all sound coherent.
So I'm going to be asking you questions because I'm very curious. I did get to say hi to people on FaceTime for a few minutes. But the first thing I want to know is I know that you had told me that it was raining. Did you expect that maybe the race would be postponed?
I was checking the radar, and there was a band of rain that was in Tampa about 7:30, and it was moving fast. It was moving towards Winter Haven and Lakeland, and it was a band of heavy rain. The question was going to be, though, if it was going to go to the south of Orlando, and it just barely scraped Orlando, but it was touch and go for a while there. There was just a smattering of lightning and thunder in that storm system, but I never saw any lightning. But about an hour and a half before the race, Michelle, maybe 2 hours before, it was pretty bad. I actually had to go back to my vehicle to get my poncho because it was raining so heavily.
So do you think if it was lightning that they would have canceled the race or postponed the race?
I think that there is a standard rule that they have if a lightning strike takes place within a certain distance of the location of the race, then I don't know if they cancel, postpone. I've never experienced a postponement, so I don't know exactly what would happen, but it was close.
Oh, that's interesting. So what about security for the race? Was there anything that I noticed last year that this was right after the Boston Marathon bombing and there was increased security. Did you notice anything different at this race?
Yes. For those who were running the in the January races and the February races, and I believe this might have also been true for Wine and Dine, Everybody who went into the race area, even the runners as well as non-runners, you had to go through a bag check. There was a bag check. There were dogs there sniffing.
So a bag check before you actually dropped your bag?
There was, yeah. So you had to go through these two barriers, and there was an area for race for runners and an area for non-runners and an area for non-people who didn't have any bags. And you had to if you had any type of bag, you had to have it checked before you even got to bag check. I mean, we're talking about 100 yards before you even get to bag check. So they were increasing the security. There were a lot of dogs walking around sniffing everybody, too.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So what about the overall temperature before this race? I remember everybody saying it was kind of cold. Like uncharacteristically cold for a day in May in Orlando.
Well, earlier in the week, I guess the temperatures were in the 90s and early morning temperatures. I know I had run early in the morning and it was in the 70s and it was very hot and humid the day before. The day of the race, it had been raining a lot the last several days before the race. With that night coming, the temperature hovered around the low 60s, which really isn't too bad, but with the rain and everything, and it was very breezy. If you weren't a runner, you probably felt a chill. I know that after the race, we were walking out of the Animal Kingdom theme park, and Eddie McCoy said he was cold, and for Eddie to say it was cold, it had to be cold. And we looked at the temperature; it was 63, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was 63. It was uncharacteristically cool for May.
For Orlando.
For Orlando, yes.
So I'm curious about the makeup of the runners. Were there a lot of families there, mostly adults? Because it's a 10 o'clock at night race.
I was really surprised, Michelle. There were a couple things that come to mind. There were a lot of families running. I would say of all the races, the Run Disney races I've seen in the last several years, this race seemed to have more runners wearing the race shirt than I've ever seen. When we were watching the first corral to leave, I'm not sure if it was Carissa or John Pelkey who asked the crowd, how many of you are running your first race? And I would say, Michelle, at least a third of the crowd raised their hand. So at least 30, I would say almost 40% of those running were running their very first race. And I would say 35 to 40% of the runners had the Everest Challenge shirt on. So
why is that a big deal, Mike, that they had their shirt on?
Well, because, you know, this unwritten rule, rule or whatever you want to call it among runners, or code, I guess you'd say, that you don't run with the race shirt. You wear the race shirt after you've completed the race because it's bad luck to run with the shirt. Getting back to the makeup
It's not the end of the world, but it's kind of just you earn the shirt, so then you wear it afterwards.
Getting back to the makeup of the runners, there were some families. All ages. There were people celebrating their birthdays there. There were people from all over the country. There were people from the West Coast. There were people from Canada. There were people from all over. So it was a very interesting makeup. I think we've seen more people run in the January and February 5Ks than in this one. But I'd say there were 10 corrals, and I'd say each corral had about 500 people, between 5 and 700 people.
So I wanted to ask about the race announcers were Carissa and John Pelkey, and it seems like the last few races what Run Disney has been doing is dressing them up. And so the theme of this race is, you know, was Expedition Everest. Were they in any costumes or anything?
You know, Carissa was dressed as if she was going out to walk during a light snowfall. She had a hooded jacket on, a very light hooded jacket on. She had boots on, and she had like leggings or tights on, and I think she had gloves on. John was dressed as if he was going to climb a mountain. He had the hat. He had the it looked like he was ready to climb the Canadian Rockies. He had a backpack on with all kinds of tools hanging from it, the boots, the whole thing.
That's so funny. So did they have any photo ops before the race? You know, they have the race announcers on the stage, and usually there's a DJ. I think I remember you seeing some, you know, usually they have some sort of a diorama set up or some sort of a, you know, a billboard type of thing that people can stand in front of.
Yes, they did have a couple of things. There was the DJ did get into the banter between Carissa and John. He was out on in the corrals talking with people. Before then, he was in the area where there were two or three different backdrops where you could take photos. They had a wall where you could sign your name. I think there was a picture of Everest, and then there was I think there were two other areas where you could take your photos. So it's always nice to see that. But there were no characters there for you to take your photo with.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, sometimes Mickey and Minnie are there. So no Yeti.
There were no characters at all.
Wow, interesting.
The closest thing to character was at the party. There was a cast member on those stilts, and he was dressed like the Yeti.
Oh, interesting. Oh, cool.
That was about it.
So let's talk about the beginning of the race. How many corrals were there, do you know?
I believe I had mentioned there were A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. There were 10.
Okay, and they were probably set up based on when people signed up for the race, not time.
I assume that, but I'll tell you, Michelle, it took the first corral was released at 10 o'clock. The last corral was released. I want to say it was close to 10:45. So it took a while for them to release the corrals.
Wow. Okay, so why don't we get to the race? All right, so let's take a break here. And, Mike, you got a chance to interview some people who had just run the race. Is that right?
Talk to a few of our friends who ran the race. One shout-out I want to give out is to even Phil Vanderpool, who I believe came in ninth in the mixed teams division, and we want to congratulate Phil and Eve for their great work. It was not an ideal night for running, so this was a pretty cool accomplishment for them. Just seeing how ready they were, they really had a lot of fun. It was not the best footing, but they were really pleased with their performance, and I want to give them a shout-out. I talked with a few people, some familiar voices and names you'll hear, and just got a little insight on what the race was all about and what they enjoyed about it the most.
Okay, so let's listen in.
So I'm here at the post-race party for the Expedition Everest Challenge. I'm here with Stephanie Gray. Stephanie, what did you think of the
event?
It was so much fun. I'm so glad I got to do it. It was my first Everest challenge, and it was hard. It was harder than I thought, but it was a lot of fun. It was a little crowded. There really wasn't a whole lot of music, which was surprising to me. But other than that, I thought it was really a good time.
Would you do it again?
Yes, I would totally do it again. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So I'm here with a friend of the podcast, Joe Pardo. Joe, this was your first Expedition Everest?
Yes, it was.
Well, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a really great time. I hope they don't cancel it next year. Please don't cancel it next year, Disney. It's a good time. I definitely plan on doing it again.
So, tell me what you liked about the event. I won't call it a race. What did you like about the event?
You know, I like the looseness of it. You know, it's a loose party. It's a real big party atmosphere. The obstacles are nice. I could use a little more obstacles, you know. I know it's still very kid-friendly and seemed very kid-oriented, especially with all the dances and stuff that I never noticed in any of the half marathons I've done here. So, great time all overall, and I hope to do it again, like, in the next year or two. Disney.
So the question is it worth the price?
I don't remember what I paid for, so probably not. But maybe, yeah. I don't know. What was it, $130 or whatever? Sure.
Would you do anything to improve it?
Yes, I would make more obstacles. The crossing of the paths. They gotta figure out a better way to do that. Definitely, because that was kind of annoying.
Okay. We also have Eddie McCoy here. Eddie, this is your second Expedition Everest. Can you compare it to the first one you've done?
The first one, I like this one a little bit better. I think they had some improvements over the second one in the fact that we actually finished out in the parking lot. The finish line was in the parking lot and not crowded right in front of Everest. I like that a lot. The one thing about this race, it's always a two-way, so it's always crowded. So if you start where we did, you can't do a lot of running. But, it's a good race for what it is.
So if you were the race director for this race and you had the power to make some changes, can you pinpoint some that you would like to see if you had the power?
If I had the power, I would get rid of it and bring Star Wars.
That's my buddy Eddie.
Yeah, no, I would, I don't know what else you could do. It's great. There's not many changes you could do other than maybe make the clues not so hard for the people like me. I need my daughter to solve them for me. But it was good. It's a good race. I'd keep it the way it is.
So how many people do you think, Joe and Eddie, how many people do you think participated in this race? I was watching the corrals. I came up with a rough number. I was just curious to what you guys thought.
If I had to guess, I'm going to guess in the neighborhood of 13,000 to 15,000.
Really?
Hi, Joe.
Really? That many?
Really?
I thought it was like six.
I was going to say five or six. Because there were 10 corrals. There were about 500 people in each corral.
See, my math's really good. That's why I didn't get the crew.
Well, we'll have to wait and see how many people finish. So I'm here with Emma McCoy, and she just ran her first Expedition Everest Challenge. Emma, what did you think of the race?
I loved it. It was really fun to do.
Really? What did you like about it?
I like the scavenger hunt the most.
Did you, your dad said that without you, he wouldn't have been able to figure out the clues. Is that true?
Yes.
Would you like to do this again?
Yes.
Would you change, now that you've run this race, you've seen the course, you've seen how everything works. If you were in charge of this race, what would you do to make it better?
Probably add like some more obstacle courses to do it over and over and over again, but add funner ones.
Wow. If I asked you to tell me the three most fun things you did on this race, what would you say they were?
I would say the scavenger hunt, running, and doing the obstacles.
Is that your very first medal, Disney medal?
Yeah.
Wow, even I don't have one of those medals. That's pretty cool. So will you want to do this again next year?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for describing the course, and if you were in charge of all the children of the world, would you tell everybody to run this race?
No, but I would actually say it's a good race. You should try to run it and do your best on it.
That was good advice. Thank you very much. And good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
All right. So that was really interesting. Let's talk about the after party now. You got a chance to go to the after party this year and hang out and kind of talk to the runners. And why don't you tell us, give us a rundown about things that you noticed in the after party?
Well, the after party took place in the Animal Kingdom. It took place in Dinoland. And
that's the use for Dinoland.
Yes. So the attractions that were open, I believe, I don't have anything in front of me that says this, but I think Expedition Everest was open, Kali River Rapids, Dinosaur, and Triceratops Spin, and I forget the other one in the in Dinoland. But those attractions were open, and there was a DJ there. And there was a cast member on stilts walking around, acting like the Yeti, so you could have a photo op there. And, of course, all the arcade things were open. There was one store open. They were selling refreshments. One interesting tidbit, Anna McCoy and I went into one of the stores. We thought that they would be selling maybe Expedition Everest merchandise, possibly shirts, long sleeve shirts. She was actually looking for a long sleeve shirt. She was really cold. And we didn't find any. And I'm just wondering if they ever thought about selling, you know, merchandise like that at the party, because it makes sense, especially if it's your first race and you wanted to purchase an I Did It. That would be the place to sell those types of shirts. I think that would have been that's a missed opportunity.
So it seems like a very small space for that many people.
We were there from I would say we got to the party sometime around 11:30 or so, and we stayed till about 2:30, actually till it closed. I would say there were. I'd say there was less than 1,000 people, or maybe 1,200 people. And the most I saw was 1,200 people there at any one time.
So did you happen to notice the lines for the attractions? I mean, could people jump off a lot?
The attractions seemed to be – well, again, I just stayed in Dinoland. It didn't seem like – I don't know what the lines were for Dinosaur, for Everest, or for Kali River Rapids, but for those areas – in the party area, the Dino Land, they weren't too bad. Maybe the reason why the lines weren't big at the Dino Land, why there weren't in people, because maybe there were people at Everest, maybe there were people at Dinosaur, maybe there were people at I don't think there were many people.
That's where I would have been on Everest.
Yeah, I you know, Michelle, because of the weather, I would say there were very few people who rode Kali River Rapids.
Oh yeah. So I'm interested in the food, because I know that after Tower of Terror, I kind of ran around and tried to get food. Like, where was the food available and what was available? And could you use your Magic Band?
I don't believe you could use your Magic Bands. There was a place as you're walking by the Boneyard and you're walking into Dinoland, there's a place on the right. I think I want to say restaurant. Restaurantosaurus was open, but I don't recall. I didn't really look over there. I didn't see many people eating anything. And the only most I saw them eating were popcorn. So again, I was just talking with a bunch of friends in within the midst of Dinoland. So I didn't inspect these other places, unfortunately. The weather played a part in all this very much.
And I'm trying to see what the party cost. You know, the party tickets were $49 if you bought them before the April 3rd and then $59 afterwards. Do you think it was worth it?
No. I think that the only party, the only after party ticket that I think is worthwhile would be the one that's offered for Wine and Dine. I think that the others just don't do it. And the other thing is that one of the things that bothers me about these after party things, Michelle, is that I would hope that most of the park would be open, most of the attractions would be open. I mean, Everest is a big deal. It's nice to have Everest open, especially at night.
Everest at night is one of my favorite things. Right. So, like, what do you think? Like, it's tough to be a bug. What do you think should be open? It seems, I know there are some nighttime hours in the summer at Animal Kingdom, but for, 6,000 people and their guests, so let's make it 8,000 people maybe.
Well, one of the problems is that you're not going to have shows. You're not going to have because you really need a lot of cast members to do
right,
the shows.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's, I wonder if it's not cost effective to do that.
It's probably – I think that this kind of an after party works best in the Magic Kingdom because the Magic Kingdom have those types of rides which can be looked upon as being easy to staff at that time of the day or night. And it's easy for runners to go off and on, and you don't have that assortment of attractions in the Animal Kingdom, nor in the studios, nor in Epcot at World Showcase. But World Showcase offers you so much more. I mean, just walking around, I mean, the venues are very nice, and you probably have several areas where you can listen to music. I believe they would have probably you wouldn't have the movies on, but you would have things like the attraction in Mexico, and you'd have the Maelstrom in Norway. So you probably have a couple of those, and you might even have Soarin'. I don't know, but I'm not sure if it's worth it.
Yeah. So you haven't run this race, but the reports from people who did run were very favorable. And somebody posted on our Facebook page or on the Mickey Milers page an advertisement for Run Disney that actually showed this race being offered next year without any details. So, Mike, you wouldn't be interested in running it next year, from what I'm understanding.
I would not. But there's a couple of reasons, Michelle. And it's funny because I talked with several people about this, did not record what I had discussed with them. But I will tell everyone that depending upon who you talk to, there are people who love running through this park. And then there are others who do not, share that enthusiasm for running through this theme park. And it's for a number of reasons. Number one, the ground is not even. And that bothers some people, especially if you have ankle or knee issues. It's dark, and if you also – and it's all the other 5Ks, Michelle, that we have done, every one that I've done – offers you the opportunity if you really want to run fast. I'm not sure if this one offers you that opportunity, especially when you get into the park. There are cones all over the park that are designated to make sure that you run it for the runners and for the other people. One of the issues that was brought up is that there are several portions of the race course in the park in which the runners who are doing the 5K and the people who are doing the scavenger hunt kind of intersect and they run into one another. And that's an issue for several people. That was mentioned a bit. Hmm. I don't know if there's a way around that, but obviously if you have fast runners and not so fast runners and some are ahead of you and finish, they're already into the scavenger hunt area. So I think that's an issue. There are a lot of people who said they would do it again. There are a lot of people who said, once is enough.
So the future of this race is up in the air. And it'd be interesting if you ran the race, please report on our Facebook page. Tell us what you think. Or if you'd like to run the race, let us know why. Who knows what's going to happen? We'll have to keep our eyes and ears open. It is listed, but I don't know if we're just all hoping that there's a Star Wars race or... if we're going to help that to materialize by wishing for it a lot. I don't know.
One thing, Michelle, is that I have to give Run Disney credit. I think that this weekend, the Expedition Everest weekend offers a lot for families. Mm-hmm. It gets the families involved. I saw kids running. I saw young adults running. It's a fun race. There's not a lot of pressure to do anything, and I think that's a key element in as to why this race is very popular. One thing I will mention, you and I covered this race last year. I saw very few, if any, repeat runners from last year.
What do you mean? That you knew? That you knew personally?
Right. Yeah. We saw, I don't know how many people we talked to, we met. I want to say we saw about 15 or 20 people last year who we knew, and they were running this race. Not one. I didn't see not one. So my theory has been all along that Run Disney really succeeds because there's an inclusion of new blood, new runners every year. And some of the veteran runners, once they've gotten to a certain threshold, they probably say, I think I'll pass. And I think that's what's happened with this race.
Well, let's remember, too, that this is the coolest medal that you can get for running a 5K. And pretty much for any other race. I mean, it is a very cool medal. So with the compass inside and things like that.
Yep, and it's the same. It's the same one. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, thank you for your race report, Michael.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So my name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and for Michael Scopa, we will see you on the road.
The Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by All Star Vacation Homes, and if you're looking for the highest quality vacation home or condo for your next Disney vacation, then you need to visit www.allstarvacationhomes.com, where hospitality has a new home, and by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Nobody can give you better service and get more for your vacation dollar than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So for your next Disney or non-Disney vacation, your first stop should be to go to MEI-travel.com or MouseFanTravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.